Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Jason DeRose. I am Western Bureau Chief at NPR News and also the Religion Editor at NPR News. The sessions that I'm doing are called Religion in Public Life, The Journalist and the Theologian. And I've broken up that topic into three sessions. One is on religion and immigration, one is on religion and race, and one is on religion and LGBTQ rights. And so what I've done is each of those sessions, I pick three or four pieces that I've edited over the last few years that address the intersection of religion and public life and immigration, or religion and public life and race, or religion and public life and LGBTQ rights. So each of the sessions has looked at how people of faith, church groups, synagogues, and mosques have responded to certain issues in the news. So for instance, I'll start with immigration. You know, during this administration, there's been a lot of regulation or changes of law or attempts to change law or rules about immigration into the United States. And I've really seen a major voice emerging from faith-based organizations that have deep concerns about these changes in immigration policy. In that session, I looked at how large church groups like Catholics, Jews, Lutherans, so forth, are sort of lobbying, responding to, publicly speaking out against the Trump administration's policy of not wanting to allow refugees or undocumented immigrants into the country. Another piece looked at how congregations actually grow because immigrants come into the United States. So especially in Texas, a lot of Latino congregations grow because Latinos who come in through the southern border are peopling those congregations, are the people filling the pews. And in fact, in an era of decline in American congregational life, meaning smaller and smaller congregations, the only growth seems to be from immigrants, specifically Latino immigrants along the southern border. And then we also looked at a story about churches either offering sanctuary or preparing to offer sanctuary for undocumented immigrants and refugees in the United States, which was a nice sort of historical piece. We looked at a current congregation, you know, basically putting trundle beds and bunk beds in its Sunday school rooms, and a second congregation just a few blocks away that in the 1980s had housed a refugee from Central America, and in fact, how she now was a citizen, or I think she now was a green card, but how they really offered her a place to live for many, many months while she was seeking asylum status in the United States. So that was the immigration and religion section. The second session I did this week is on the intersection of religion, public life, and race. So, which could go in a bunch of different directions, but the several that I wanted to look at were a congregation in the San Francisco Bay Area that was trying to integrate. Basically, there was an entirely white congregation, an entirely black congregation, and how the two pastors decided to come together and form one congregation. And you know, we looked at sort of the struggles of like what that might mean, what integration would look like, what people's fears were, what their hopes were, and what the real, you know, roadblocks were to making that happen. Another story, which is probably, I think, one of the most interesting stories on this topic, another congregation in the San Francisco Bay Area that's decided to stop calling the police. And they say that that is an act of justice on their part, that too often police are called, even in some instances when it's, you know, a serious crime, and that things go south if the people you're calling, they the police on are African American, that there is a tendency to be more afraid and to call the police in unwarranted situations, but also a tendency for if those situations involve police, that they could become violent. And so this was a congregation that was really sort of thinking theologically about why they did not want to involve the police in their own congregational lives or in the lives of people who were members who maybe felt afraid because, you know, they were being threatened by somebody in the community who was specifically African American. And they also looked, one of the pieces we looked at was a story about how the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which is a Jewish organization that really looks at anti-Semitism, has been trying to expand its mission and look at race issues and LGBT rights and immigration rights, but has a backlash happening, especially from people from Black Lives Matter, who say that, well, because the ADL also supports Israel and Israel's policies towards Palestinians, that they can't really be a civil rights organization that has a broad base, because Black Lives Matter folks say that, well, it was Palestinian youth who, you know, have been treated poorly by the authorities who were tweeting at them in Ferguson or elsewhere about how this is what we're seeing here. This is how the police treat us here in Jerusalem or Ramallah. And this is how you're being treated there in the United States. It's a pretty complicated story, because the ADL is really trying to have this intersectional mission that sees discrimination and hatred as not just a one access issue, but multifaceted, but they're getting a lot of criticism from Palestinian rights groups. The final session is on the intersection of religion, public life, and LGBT issues, which I'm trying to avoid doing pieces in this session, or I am avoiding in this session doing pieces about, like, what are the Methodists doing about, what are they saying in their votes about gay clergy or same-sex weddings? Because that's a denominational issue, which is, you know, important, and we do cover it, but I'm not sure that that's public life writ large. So I'm trying to look at, you know, how people of faith are working with legal organizations, or faith-based legal organizations have been trying to help businesses not provide services, wedding services like flowers or cakes or invitations to same-sex couples. So that's one of the pieces. Another story that I'm really interested in this section is a look at how post-Stonewall, the riots that sort of are marked or thought of as the beginning of the modern LGBT rights movement, set off a series of back and forths between LGBT rights and conservative Christians, or the religious right, and how basically those two groups have formed agendas in relationship with each other over the past 50 years. That, you know, Stonewall happens, a number of LGBT civil rights ordinances are passed in cities around the country, and then the religious right notices this and starts to respond by saying these are not a good idea. And then because of those, that move to repeal those ordinances, the LGBT rights movement creates a new strategy. And so it's two large groups sort of forming their agendas in concert with each other. It's not one movement, it's two sides of the same coin, and how they're almost codependent on each other for their mission and their understanding of what the world should be like. So those are my sessions that I've been doing the past couple of weeks here at Holden.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.